It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This week, the Trump administration proposed rolling back certain limits on toxic PFAS chemicals that have contaminated millions of people's drinking water across the country and here in Wisconsin.
In 2024, the Biden administration set the first national standards for limiting PFAS in drinking water.
Those standards came after the Environmental Protection Agency determined PFAS chemicals were linked to elevated risks of some cancers, decreased fertility, developmental delays in children, and other health problems.
In Wisconsin, PFAS exposure is a persistent problem. For instance, the town of Campbell has been on state-funded bottled water since 2021 due to widespread contamination in private wells.
Last month, Governor Evers signed legislation unlocking $133 million to address PFAS contamination in communities like Campbell around the state.
To help us understand what this EPA rollback means for Wisconsin, we called up Dave Strifling, director of the Marquette University Law School Water Law and Policy Initiative. Dave, welcome back.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you again.
Table setting first, how prevalent are PFAS in Wisconsin's drinking water?
Well, they're everywhere. If we tested the blood of all Wisconsinites, it's pretty likely that just about everybody would have some level of PFAS detected. Now, we don't know exactly where and how that always gets there, but drinking water is certainly a primary exposure route.
EPA now issuing two proposed rules. Let's break this down. The first one would rescind four of six PFAS compounds. Can you explain what's happening in that piece of the rule?
Right. So what happened here was that the Biden administration put in place six limits on PFAS compounds in drinking water. So you know, one thing to keep in mind here is when we say PFAS, we're not talking about a single chemical. We're talking about a class of compounds, thousands of them, well over 10,000 by some estimates. And so we're just talking about six of those many, many compounds here. And what the Trump administration has said at this point is that we're going to go forward and keep two of those limits on the books on two of those of the most common types of PFAS, PFOA and PFOS, but four others we are going to abandon or propose abandoning, I should say, primarily because of what it calls some procedural failures with the process that the Biden administration used to set them.
And we'll look more at those procedural rules in just a moment. The second piece here on this rule of, PFOA and PFOS being delayed for water utilities. Can you explain that piece?
Right. So there's a lot of concern here on the part of utilities about whether they have the financial ability and flexibility to really respond and meet these standards within the timeframe that the Biden administration set out. So this isn't really a new thing that we're hearing from the Trump administration. They've been saying for a while that they invite utilities to apply for an exception and an extension rather. And this just formalizes that into a rule that extends that deadline by a couple of years.
The EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said the Biden administration cut corners, failed to follow the law when creating these standards. How do you interpret that assertion?
So I think primarily what the administrator is talking about is the opportunity for public comment on each of the individual compounds in play here. So what EPA is proposing is to start over from square one, invite public comment on all of the standards that are being considered here and reevaluate whether new drinking water limits are justified for these four PFAS compounds and potentially others as well. I don't think it's limiting the analysis to these four.
If there were procedural issues with the 2024 PFAS standards, if there were problems in the rulemaking process, wouldn't that be figured out in the courts? Why are they taking steps for a rollback here?
Yes, so that rule was challenged in the courts, actually, and that case is still ongoing. It was challenged by water utilities and chemical companies, manufacturers of PFAS, alleging some of these both procedural and substantive failures with the Biden administration's promulgation of this rule. And EPA had said in the litigation that it wanted to abandon these four PFAS compound limits. And the court, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals out in Washington, D.C., the federal court, said, not so fast. We're not going to let you do that in the context of this litigation. You would have to do that via a rule. So then EPA is, you know, going back here to the administrative process and trying to undo these four limits that way, as opposed to in that ongoing litigation.
Dave Strifling with us, director of Marquette University Law School Water Law and Policy Initiative. Turning to Wisconsin, explain the strides Wisconsin has made to comply with the 2024 limits on PFAS and drinking water.
Right. So what Wisconsin did is it promulgated its own rule at the state level to align its drinking water regulations with all six PFAS standards or limits that the Biden administration had proposed. And the way that the Safe Drinking Water Act works is that states have primacy, as it's called, to administer the Safe Drinking Water Act within their boundaries. Mm. So it's Wisconsin, for example, that administers the Safe Drinking Water Act within our state. But by state law and by federal law, the limits in the state have to be no less stringent than the federal requirements. So Wisconsin said, well, these federal requirements are now on the books. We have to amend our rules to be consistent with them. So that was the primary justification that Wisconsin DNR gave for putting these new limits in place. And indeed, those rules moved pretty quickly through the rulemaking process. They were approved by the governor back in, a couple of months ago, and then submitted to the Legislative Reference Bureau for publication within the last couple of weeks. The final step will be publication by the LRB, which I understand is going to happen in late June, and the rules will become effective in July 1st. So I think there are some maybe vulnerabilities is the right word now to these rules. They might be a little more susceptible to challenge than they were before the federal rollbacks occurred, but there's a lot of uncertainty here, quite honestly, a lot of moving parts still to settle before we know exactly how this is all going to shake out.
That is the question that is coming up here in Wisconsin. What does this rollback, federal rollback, ultimately mean for our state regulations on PFAS? What will the road ahead look like?
Right. So I think what this will look like is these rules will go final in early July, the state rules. And at that point, someone could challenge them, perhaps a water utility again, or a chemical manufacturer alleging that there's just not enough time to comply, or not enough funding to comply, or they're not valid for other substantive reasons. That would happen under Chapter 227 of the Wisconsin statutes in the form of a declaratory judgment action that would argue or allege that the agency exceeded the scope of its authority. Hmm. And the justification or the argument there could take a couple of different forms. One would be that this primacy argument that there has to be alignment with the federal rules no longer carries any force. Because the federal rules no longer require a regulation of those four PFAS compounds. Now, you know, keeping in mind or bookmarking the fact that the federal rules are not final yet either, and those could be subject to challenge, meaning that the Trump rollback could also be subject to challenge. It's just a proposed rollback at this point.
Bunch of stuff in the air. Yeah, because there's now rolling into a 60-day comment period and a public hearing. Yeah. What does this look like then with the $133 million to communities that Governor Evers signed those bills, you know, this money then going, you know, to address PFAS contamination? Could this rollback of regulations affect that money?
So I don't think it can affect the availability of the funding. And indeed, I think that's one way that the landscape has changed significantly since February, let's say, when DNR sent these rules over to the governor for approval. There is more funding available now, both at the state level and potentially at the federal level. The EPA is, seemingly announcing that it's going to make some money available as well to the states and to local utilities to comply with these PFAS regulations. So, you know, that's another thing that's kind of still up in the air. We don't know how much this is going to cost in the end and whether there will be enough either by virtue of the new state funding under Acts 200 and 201 that, you know, freed up that $133 million for PFAS issues, or under the federal government's proposed funding as well. So, you know, again, there's just so much uncertainty here.
Mm. And Wisconsin got word this week that the EPA Wisconsin will receive $15 million about of funds to help remove PFAS from drinking water, specifically in small communities. That money coming from the bipartisan infrastructure law from Biden era 2021. My question, though, how will communities get money if there are these differing standards to test for?
Yeah, so I think, you know, if I were running a water utility, I would think to myself, I need to comply with both of these regulations, at least for the time being, as long as they're on the books and effective, as the Wisconsin rule will become in early July. And so I need to test for that, and I need to comply with those limits. And so I would, you know, model my funding application, whether I'm asking for funding from the state or the federal government, to kind of express that and say that, you know, I need to meet these new state regulations, and this is the type of treatment process that I have to put in place to do that.
So on these federal EPA rules, 60-day comment period window, public hearing July 7th, what are you watching for?
So a couple of things. Number one is certainly I would expect a lot of commentary at that public hearing on both sides of the rule. There will be certainly focus on this by environmental groups and citizen groups who argue that, you know, this rollback is not appropriate, that these limits should stay on the books. And I do expect some comments on the other side from, say, water utilities who I've heard still may be unhappy with some aspects of even the proposed rule in terms of the sampling protocol and some of the details and nuts and bolts of the rule. So, you know, then EPA is going to have to go back, take all those comments into account, and finalize the rule. So this is a long runway, a long road ahead.
We'll be watching for it. Dave Strifling, thank you, Director of Marquette University Law School Water Law and Policy Initiative.